For the sake of the recording, this is the third lesson on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And we've been looking at basic definitions of marriage, basic and specific, or generic and specific, if you will. But the whole subject is going to be on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We looked at these generic modern definitions, some web encyclopedias. We got some basic highlights that marriage in general is seen as a union of individuals. Doesn't have to be heterosexual. It's individual, so it can be same sex in our society. That's what marriage would be defined as. It's defined as a contract that's recognized and sanctioned by law, and of course there are laws now recognizing same-sex marriages. Second and subsequent legal unions are also called marriage, so you can be married 8 or 9 times by law. Doesn't matter. As long as you've done things legally, it's still considered marriage. And it represents a change of personal and social status. A lot of times you'll have joint bank accounts and health accounts and all those kind of things, and it's because of this recognized change of social and personal status. Well, after looking at the generic definitions, we then looked at some applications, some specific modern legal definitions, and specifically South Carolina legislature, which prohibits same-sex marriage. South Carolina does. There are 11 states, though, currently that allow same-sex marriages, and there are different levels of who you can and can't marry, and that's all based at a state level. There is no federal regulation of marriage in our country. So that was kind of an application of the generic definition of marriage. And what we looked at was this idea, or what we remembered was this idea that the dictionaries themselves, the encyclopedias, these legal codes, they're not creating the definitions for these words. They're just reflecting what people think the words mean now. So we're looking at modern usage, common usage. If we really want to get at what a word means or what it meant in a certain context, we've got to go back to that context and fish out the meaning of the word. So for our studies, of course, we want to know what it means in the Bible. What does marriage mean biblically? So we've seen the generic modern everybody definition. What is the Bible definition? Well, to see that, we've studied Old Testament Hebrew and New Testament Greek word meanings. We did that extensively during two of our studies to this point. Just getting this generic biblical idea of what marriage is, how is it different from what the world sees? Well, here's some highlights of the biblical view of marriage. It is a union of a man and a woman. There is no same-sex marriage concept in the Bible. We see this union of man and woman. And we also see that it is a contract, as is true of the generic meaning in our society. It's a taking in or taking on of a new role or of a new spouse and new relationship. And even in the Bible, second and subsequent legal unions are called marriage. We see, for example, John the Baptist talking to Herod and was saying, you should not have married your brother Philip's wife. So obviously, marriage in the generic sense in the Bible covers all of those unions. Then we looked at more specific application, some more, if you will, legal definitions from within the Bible. And to do that, we studied Genesis 2 last time. Verses 18 through 25, because that is the Bible basis for all teaching on marriage, for the doctrine of marriage in the Bible. Well, what we really saw was, first off, that it is the basis for all Bible teaching. We began really in chapter 1 with the general context of creation, to see that God had made male and female. What we saw is that the word mankind has two parts. It's a male and a female part. God created them, male and female, when he created man and woman. That was the first aspect that we saw. Then as we got into the details of chapter 2 of Genesis, we saw why God made woman. The man wasn't good that the man should be alone. He needed a helper that was comparable to him. So that's why woman was made. We saw that God had brought the animals, and they weren't capable of doing what man needed. Then we looked at the second part of that Genesis 2 passage there. It's verses 21 through 23. It tells how God made the woman. He put Adam into a deep sleep, took a part of himself, took a rib, and fashioned the woman from the rib, and then brought the woman to the man. And so here is a woman who's made of the same stuff that Adam's made of. She's made to be an equal to him in the sense of their nature, and she's made with a specific role. And we saw that in Genesis 2. And then finally we saw God's plan for marriage, as God gives the details there in Genesis 2:24, and this is really the crux of the marriage doctrine, if you will. This is God's, in Genesis 2:24, this is God's commentary on Adam's reaction as the woman was brought to him. Adam said, "This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman," that was the feminine form of the word man, and then because she was taken out of man. And then God makes this commentary: "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And there are a lot of things involved in that. We'll see more details in that today, even, because Jesus will reiterate this in the New Testament. But this is God's plan for man.